Amen. Well, good morning. I greet you with Jesus' joy. What a joy and privilege it is to be with you. I hope you're excited to be in God's house this morning. See, where I come from, excitement just looks a whole lot different than that. But you ought to be excited to be in the Lord's house. I do greet you with Jesus' joy. I am excited to be with you in worship with my brother and dear friend, your pastor who I love so much, and just marvel at all that God is doing in and through his ministry. On behalf of Dr. Jim Richards and our entire team there at the Southern Baptist of Texas Convention, where I serve you across the state of Texas on mission to reach the nearly 19.5 million people in the state of Texas who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we're celebrating and praying for missions around the world, don't forget your home state. Because the nations have come to Texas, 19.5 million people who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got a mission field right here. And so even as you're praying for the nations, we pray for the nations that are here in our backyard. And the only way that we're able to reach Texas and impact the world is because of churches like you that give through the cooperative program as we join our resources and efforts together to push back darkness and to reach people who are far from God. So we thank you for all that you're doing for the cause of Christ. Well, we've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. I'm on the clock, so I need to get on down the road. If you have your copy of God's Word, will you join me in Jonah chapter 3? We don't often think of Jonah as a book on missions, but I guarantee you it's there. Jonah chapter 3 is where I want to hang my hat for the time that has been allotted to me to come and to be a part of your Missions Day celebration. Jonah chapter 3. If you've arrived at Jonah chapter 3, I'm going to invite you to stand with me as we read the Word of God. I am of the opinion if we can stand to sing, we ought to be able to stand for the reading of God's Word. Jonah chapter 3. Beginning at the first verse, these words are recorded. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you." So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceedingly great city, a three-day journey in extent. And Jonah began to enter the city on the first day's walk. Then he cried out and said, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown." That's enough. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I read in your hearing Jonah chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Look with me again at the first verse. The first verse says, "And the word of the Lord came to Jonah the second time." Another version of this particular passage says that the word of the Lord came to Jonah again. And so I'd like to use as a thought and a title for this morning, the ministry of another chance. Have you ever messed up in life? Have you ever made a mistake? A blunder? Said the wrong thing? Did the wrong thing? Went the wrong place? And wish above all else you could just get a do-over? Maybe y'all are super spiritual and y'all don't make mistakes like me. But have you ever made a mistake in life? And you wish that you could just experience another chance. Another opportunity to perhaps make the different choice. The bad thing is when you make a mistake and you make the same choice over again. That's called foolish. But in Jonah chapter 3, we see a preacher, a prophet, who understands the importance of another chance. Don't close your Bible. It's really a wonderful story. Jonah chapter 3 is a story of a preacher who experiences the joy of another chance, another opportunity to make a different choice than the choice he made before. So you may recall, this is not the first time that Jonah received this message. In fact, if you flip over just to Jonah chapter 1, your Bible says that Jonah had received this message before. In fact, in Jonah chapter 1, verse 1, listen to what the Bible says. Now the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry out against it, for their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah arose to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa, found a ship going to Tarshish. He paid the fare, went down into the ship, and he was going with them to Tarshish, seeking to flee the presence of the Lord. This is a trip. This is a mission trip. God was sending Jonah on mission to Nineveh. Since y'all are celebrating Mission Sunday, this is a missionary story. God was calling Jonah to go on mission to Nineveh. And can I suggest to us that there are many of us who are more like Jonah than many of us like to admit? Here's why I say that. Jonah had a clear call from God. In Jonah chapter 1 and Jonah chapter 3, there was no uncertainty, there was no doubt, there was no obscure question of whether or not God was calling him. Jonah knew exactly who was talking to him. He knew exactly where he wanted him to go. He knew exactly what he wanted him to do. He had a clear call from God. And yet there are many of us who are just like Jonah who know there's some areas of our lives where God has called us to do some things. And then on the flip side of that, there are some things that God has commanded us not to do. I'm telling you, we're a lot like Jonah. Because Jonah knows exactly what God wants him to do, but Jonah doesn't want to do what God has told him to do. Just like you and I. Are there some areas of your life where you know God has clearly spoken to you? That means yes. Are there some areas where you know that currently you are walking in disobedience to God? On the flip side of that, are there some areas of your life where you know God has commanded you clearly not to do that, and yet in spite of having a clear call from God, you decided, I know what's best for my life. I know what's best for my family. I know what's best for our church, and we're going to do it according to our own terms. We're a whole lot like Jonah. Jonah knows what God wants him to do, but Jonah says, I don't want to do what God wants me to do. So you ask a natural question. The natural question is, why doesn't Jonah want to go to Nineveh? It's a great question. In fact, they asked the same question at the early service. The reason Jonah doesn't want to go to Nineveh is because Nineveh is the capital city of the Assyrians. The Assyrians had oppressed Jonah and his people for generations, and therefore Jonah developed a hatred for the Assyrians. He didn't like them, and they didn't like him. But in spite of his dislike and disdain for them, God was calling him to go and minister to them. But because he didn't like them, he didn't want to go and minister to them. In essence, what Jonah says is, I want to pick and choose which country I want to pray for. I want to pick and choose to whom I will pray and to where I will go. I'm telling you, we're more like Jonah than many of us like to admit. Because just like you, there are many of us here who want to pick and choose where we will go and to whom we will minister to. And so Jonah says, I don't like those people. And those people don't like me. Do you have some those people in your life? Oh, come on, you know those people. You know those people who don't look like you. Those people who may not speak the same language as you, those people. Those people who don't vote like you. You know those people. Those people, every time you think about them, it stirs up something negative in your spirit. I know you know those people. I got some of those people in my own family. Those people who, as long as they stay over there, we just get along a whole lot better. In fact, in a place like this, there's even some of us who have said, why don't those people stay in their own country? Why in the world are those people coming over here? Can I offend you just for a little while? Why don't we just build a wall to keep those people out? And I stopped by on my way to heaven to remind us God loves those people. Jesus Christ died for those people. And because God loves those people, we better learn how to love those people. I know it's tight. I know some of you are offended. But what God says to Jonah is what he says to us. I know you don't like them, but I love them. And because I love them, I'm going to send you to minister to them. Look at the context. Jonah chapter 1. God has seen the wickedness of Nineveh. God was about to destroy Nineveh. But because God loved Nineveh, God wanted to give Nineveh another chance. And so God calls Jonah and says, Jonah, you go and minister to them because their wickedness has come up before me and I'm about to destroy them. And Jonah says, I'm not going. And Jonah makes a clear decision to disobey God. Just like you and I. And what Jonah discovers is that whenever you make a conscious decision to disobey God, there's consequences to pay. I don't care who you are, how much money you have, what your title and role and responsibility are. Whenever you make a conscious decision to disobey God, there's a price to pay. And so from Jonah chapter 1, verse 4, to the end of Jonah chapter 1, we see Jonah reaping the consequences of his disobedience. So here's the picture. Jonah decides, I'm not going to go. He gets on his ships. He's seeking to flee the presence of the Lord. Jonah chapter 1 verse 4, your Bible says, and God sends a strong wind. In essence, God is pursuing Jonah even while Jonah is walking in disobedience to God. I know that don't excite y'all. But I'm so excited that I serve a God that even when I'm rebelling, even when I'm disobedient, even when I'm walking in disobedience to him, he pursues me with an everlasting love. In Jonah chapter 1, verse 4, God is pursuing Jonah, and God sends a strong wind, a storm wind on the seas. And by the end of the first chapter, Your Bible says that Jonah is thrown overboard. And so now we see Jonah reaping the consequences of his disobedience. Three things that sin will always do. Sin will always take you further than you had planned on going. Sin will always cost you more than you had planned on paying. And sin will always keep you longer than you intended on staying. Because there are consequences to disobeying God. And in Jonah chapter 1, we see Jonah reaping the consequences of his choices. And then your Bible says in Jonah chapter 1, verse 17, I'm not making it up, that God created a great fish that swallows Jonah. I used to think that this fish was punishment. But when you read this text closely, this fish wasn't punishment, but it was protection. That God created this fish that swallows Jonah and swims to the bottom of the sea because in spite of Jonah's rebellion to God, God still desired to use Jonah. And so God creates this negative environment in Jonah chapter 1, verse 17, that swallows Jonah and swims to the bottom of the sea. Sometimes the negative environments that we go through in life, we always say that the devil sure is busy, isn't he? But this fish was not satanic. God created this fish. And God created this fish for the purpose of swallowing his servant to protect his servant. In essence, God created a negative environment. And in Jonah chapter 2, we see God dealing with his servant Jonah in a negative environment. We don't like negative environments. In fact, we often pray and ask God, deliver us from what we're going through. Isn't that what we normally pray? God, get me out of what I'm going through. Maybe our prayers ought not be, God, get me out of what I'm going through, but our prayers ought to be, God, what are you trying to teach me through what I'm going through? Because Jonah chapter 2 was created because it is in the negative environment that God could get Jonah's attention. Can I just tell my own personal story for a second? I don't pray as hard when I'm on the mountain peaks as I do when I'm in the valley. I don't study as hard as I ought to study God's word when everything's going all right in my life. Just me, I know y'all are super spiritual. But there is something about the negative environments of life. There is something about when pain and pressure is pressing on me from the outside that drives me to my knees. There is something about the uncertainty of the evilness of mankind that drives me to seek answers from the Word of God. Sometimes the negative environments are painful and we don't like to go through them, but can I suggest to you that they are necessary? They're painful. We don't like them. We wish we could avoid them. But they're necessary. They're necessary to teach us lessons about God. They're necessary to teach us lessons about ourselves. The negative environments of life are needed. They're needed in your life. They're needed in my life. And they were needed in Jonah's life. And so in Jonah chapter 2, God has created this negative environment, and for 3 days and three nights, God is dealing with his servant Jonah. Then your Bible says at the end of Jonah chapter 2 that Jonah repents. And when Jonah repents, God then commands the fish to spit Jonah up. I said something and y'all missed it. Jonah's going through. But in Jonah chapter 2, he repents. And when he repents, then God releases him. That's significant because there are many of us who've been praying, God, get me out. And I'm here to say God won't get you out until you repent. Because there is some stuff that you need and I and we need to repent of. And until we repent of it, we'll never be released. God, you better hear me. And so by Jonah chapter 2, the end of the chapter, your Bible says that the word is spoken to the fish and the fish spits Jonah out after Jonah repents. Nobody likes chapter 2. Families don't like to go through chapters 2. Churches don't like chapter 2. Chapter 2 is painful, but it's necessary. When Jonah repents at the end of chapter 2, then God releases him. Then your Bible says, Jonah chapter 3, verse 1, you and I arrive at the scene, that the word of the Lord comes to Jonah a second time. God, I like that. He could have gave up on Jonah. He could have gave up on me. But I'm so glad I serve a God who hasn't given up on me. And so Jonah chapter 3, the word of the Lord comes to Jonah the second time. It says to him, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach to it the message that I tell you. Third verse. So Jonah arose and went to Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. But wait a minute. This is the same message that Jonah heard in Jonah chapter 1. This was the same God that spoke to the same man, told him to go to the same place and minister to the same people in Jonah chapter 1 that he told him in Jonah chapter 3. What's the difference between Jonah chapter 3 and Jonah chapter 1? It's a great question. The only difference between Jonah chapter 3 and Jonah chapter 1 was Jonah chapter 2. I know it seems simplistic, but listen, it was something about what God did in Jonah chapter 2 that when Jonah heard the same message from the same God to go to the same place, minister to the same people that he heard in Jonah chapter 3, that he heard in Jonah chapter 1, he responded differently in Jonah chapter 3 than he responded in Jonah chapter 1. And the only difference was Jonah chapter 2. I told you the negative environment, Jonah chapter 2 is necessary. Maybe I can make it just a little bit more practical to you. It was just something about when my mama would say to me when I was a child, didn't I tell you not to do that? I know I told you not to do that. But because you decided that you knew what was best for your own life, guess what? The rod of correction belongs to you. I know these modern parents don't beat their children like I got beat. It was just, I got beat. Some of y'all are laughing because y'all understand. Now we put him in time out. But it was just something about that beating. It was just something about when daddy would take me out back, pull his long belt off, and his strap met my back in. It changed my whole perspective on life. And when I heard the instructions the next time, I responded a whole lot different than I responded the first time. That's what happened to Jonah. Jonah chapter 2, God chastised him. God separated himself from him. God created a negative environment in order to get Jonah's attention. And when he heard the response or the command in Jonah chapter 3, that same command that he heard in Jonah chapter 1, he responded a whole lot different. And your Bible says he goes to Nineveh and he preaches the message that God gave to him. Jonah didn't like them, remember? He hated them. He wanted them to experience the full wrath of God's judgment. He wanted God to destroy them because he didn't like them. And whenever you and I fail to minister to people, whenever you and I fail to share the gospel with people, whenever you and I fail to love people, then what we do is we're putting them in danger of one day experiencing the full wrath of God's judgment. You do know that hell is the full wrath of God's judgment, don't you? And so in Jonah chapter 3, Jonah goes and he preaches to them. Jonah chapter 3, verse 5, your Bible says, and the people heard him and the people believed him. And the people repented of their sins and began to fast. But not only that, the sixth verse says that the king also heard and the king also believed and began to pass laws and legislation that the name of the Lord shall be heralded. You've been trying to figure out how you're going to reach this community and the nations. You've been trying to figure out how in the world we're going to turn this government right side up, and laws and legislations would pass throughout the land that are for righteousness. It happens like this. It happened in Jonah's life, and it needs to happen in our life. It is when the people of God take serious the commands of God and engage people who are far from God, share with them the message of God, then they might turn to God. That's what happens. Jonah took serious the commands of God. He walked in obedience to God. He engaged people who were far from God. He preached to them the message that God had given to them. Then they turned to God. It's a book on missions. That's what you and I have been commanded and called to do. And so in Jonah chapter 3, verse 6, the people believe. Jonah chapter 3, verse 7, the king believes. And then your Bible says that in Jonah chapter 3, verse 10, God saw that the people believed and the people repented and the people fasted and God relented. Some people think that word relented means that God changed his mind. No, no, God didn't change his mind. It literally means God held back from them what they rightfully deserve. They deserve death. They deserve the wrath of God. But God, because he is loving and merciful God, he held back from them what they rightfully deserve. just like you and I. Did you know you deserve hell? Do you know you deserve death? Your Bible says in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Goes on to write in Romans 6:23 that the wages, the penalty, the price for your sin is death. You deserve death, but God. But the grace of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. In essence, what Paul is saying is that you deserve death. You deserve eternal wrath, eternal separation from God. But because of Jesus Christ, who died on Calvary's cross for the sins of all mankind, and whoever places their faith and trust in him shall be saved from the wrath of God. And so God held back from them what they rightfully deserve. I'm almost done. But you would have thought Jonah would have been happy that through his ministry, a city was saved. But Jonah wasn't happy. In fact, in Jonah chapter 4, Jonah is angry with God because God had the audacity to save those people. In fact, Jonah asked God, why don't you kill me? I'd rather be dead than to know you saved those people. Don't you know how bad those people were? Do you know how evil they were? Do you know how bad they hurt me? I cannot believe you saved him. There's a whole lot of that kind of conversation going around social media even now. Can't believe Kanye. Why does that surprise us? There is nobody outside of the grace of God. You can't mess up bad enough. You can't stray far enough. You can't run far enough that the grace and mercy of God can't find you and save you. Now, I know that don't excite y'all, but that excites me because I deserve hell. I deserve the wrath of God. But God, in his love and mercy, held back from me what I rightfully deserve. But Jonah is mad. But what Jonah doesn't recognize is what many of us don't recognize. That the same grace and mercy that God had poured out on those people was the same grace and mercy that God had given to him. He deserved death. He deserved damnation. He deserved the full wrath of God's judgment, just like you and I. But the same grace that saved those people is the same grace and mercy that you and I celebrate this morning. God Almighty. Jonah has a significant ministry, and I'm on my way to my seat when I say this. I know preachers say that all the time, but it's true. In Jonah chapter 4, verse 11, God gives us the first glimpse of Nineveh. Jonah has a significant ministry. Here's what I've always heard of Jonah. I grew up hearing this story. I went to Sunday school. I went to vacation Bible school. I've heard many, many lessons and sermons about Jonah. And here's what I always heard about Jonah. Here is a man who heard from God. Here is a man who disobeyed God. Here is a man who reaped the consequences of his disobedience, was thrown overboard, who was swallowed by a fish that spit him up on dry land after 3 days. That's what I've always heard about Jonah. But when you read this text closely, Jonah had a significant ministry. In fact, in Jonah chapter 4, verse 11, God says that Nineveh is an exceedingly great city, a city of over 120,000 people who do not know their left from their right. In essence, what God is saying is that because of Jonah's ministry, 120,000 people were saved from the wrath of God. Now, I don't know many churches that wouldn't be happy if 120,000 people were saved because of their ministry. You'd be pretty happy with that, wouldn't you? That means yes. Jonah has a significant ministry, but we never celebrate Jonah's ministry. Why? As impactful and significant as his ministry was, why is it that we never celebrate it? I'm glad you ask. Because all we ever talk about is here's a man who heard from God. Here's a man who disobeyed God. Here's a man who reaped the consequences of his disobedience, was swallowed by a fish that spit him out on dry land after 3 days and three nights. And yet he has this impactful ministry that's always overshadowed by his disobedience. The point I'm simply trying to make is you can celebrate all that you're doing in the nations around the world. You can celebrate good things in the Lord's name. But if you're not careful, both individually and collectively as a church family, you can do great things, but all that will ever be said of you is you were a disobedient people. I know a lot of churches that do some good things, but all people ever talk about and remember of them is their disobedience. I know individuals who do some good things and yet make a mistake that erases all the good things they've done. Y'all know some people like that too. Pastors who served and leaders who have served diligently and have done a lot of good things, but they make a bad choice, and all of the good things that they've done are overshadowed. And all people ever remember of them are their failures. So you ask one final question. What does God want from Jonah? God wants from Jonah the same thing he wants from you. He wants your yes. All he wanted from Jonah was his unconditional, unwavering yes that says, God, wherever you call me to go, I'll go. To whomever you call me to minister to, I'll minister. However long you want me to stay, I'll stay. I'll do whatever you called me to do. God wanted Jonah's yes. God wants your yes. Is your yes on the table? Your unconditional yes, because some of us have yes on the table, but it's conditional. Yes, Lord, as long as it doesn't cost me too much. Yes, Lord, unless it takes me too far. Yes, Lord, unless you want me to go to those people. I'll do anything for love, but I won't do that. God wants your yes. And so in the small church that I grew up, we used to sing a song. It says, I'll say yes, Lord, yes. to your will and to your way. I'll say yes, Lord, yes. I will trust you and obey. When your spirit speaks to me with my whole heart, I'll agree. And my answer will be yes. Lord, yes. If you're here today and you've never placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the best decision you can make today is to say yes. Maybe you're a good church member, but you've never put your unconditional yes on the table. Today, we want you to give God your yes. So in just a second, I'm going to sit down. The pastor's going to come, and he's going to extend an invitation for you to put your yes on the table. Let me encourage you to make the most important decision that you can ever make. Amen? Amen. Amen.
Thanks so much for joining us today. We pray that the truth of God's word is both encouraging and uplifting to you. If you'd like more information about our church, service times, or locations, or if you have a question about what you heard today and you want to connect with someone, I want to encourage you to visit us on our website at championforest.org. Have a great day, and God bless.